Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before.
All right. Okay.
Stuck behind never-ending windows. All you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride. Cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough. Pretend I got a hand I can lend. Cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Do you not want to wait? Neither do we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows taught me. I'm Jess Sterling here with my co-host Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you? Can I hear you say, yeah, yeah? Pacey doing that was like very cringe. Very cringe. Hey, hey, we're going in like stolen car now. Woohoo!
Woo!
Oh my God. It was so cringy.
Party time.
It was so cringy. So this, well, before we even get into Dawson's Creek, I guess, let's reset. Hi, welcome. We're talking Dawson's Creek here today. It has been a crazy day. I have a glass of wine because even though we normally only drink our 90s nightcaps on Boy Meets World podcasts, this episode called for a glass of wine, I think.
Yeah. Oh, she's taking a sip.
I'm taking a sip. It's necessary,
she's
people.
She's taking a big gulp.
Listen, it's not only been a day. It has been. Listen, it's Winston's birthday for anybody.
Happy birthday, Winston.
Yes. Winston's birthday is March 11th. I made him treats. He loved them. He got presents. He was like a king. He's always the king of the house. But like, especially today, he's the king of the house. So That's exciting.
What was his presents?
So my mom got him this like really cute little toy who has like glasses and stuff. It's like a squeaky toy, and then like a hard one of those like harder bones. He really enjoys those, like the really chewy ones. And then we got him like his favorite toys are those like Chuck It balls, the orange ones. So we got him one of those to like play with. And then we made him like treats for a special dessert. He loves peanut butter.
Is he a happy boy?
Oh my God. He's like spoiled rotten. Like he was like, I think he knows it's his birthday. Like this sounds ridiculous, but he knows.
Oh.
Like he can tell.
He can tell. He knows that he's a special boy today. Yeah, what a good boy.
So yes, happy birthday to Winston, and also happy birthday to Abby, his sister, his litter mate. That's my parents' dog. So
that's so cute.
Yeah.
How old is Winston and Abby today?
They turned 6. The big 6.
Aw, yes. They're such big kids.
Yeah, big babies. So
big babies.
That was my day. How was your day?
It was a day. You know, days are days. I don't know.
It's a day.
It was fine.
Yeah.
It was fine. I mean, obviously, meltdowns on meltdowns on meltdowns.
Pisces season. It's Pisces season.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm alive, and at least I have that.
You lived to tell the tale. So,
yeah.
That's great news.
But I don't. Yeah. Oh God.
Anyway. let's get right into this episode because honestly, it is absolutely insane. We're talking season one, episode 11. We're nearing the end of season one here, The Scare. So before we actually get into things, I did want to put out a content warning just because this episode does get a little bit in the area of domestic violence. So we have a number here too for National Domestic Violence Hotline, 1-800-799-SAFE, 1-800-799-7233. We just wanted to like let you guys know at the beginning because there are some touchy subjects in this episode, so just to play it safe, that's the number. Feel free to skip this one if that's like something you're completely uncomfortable with. We totally get it. Let's get into this absolutely insane episode of television.
yeah. Let's get into it. I do want to say that this episode has an 8.4 out of 10 rating on IMDb.
Who in the fucking what?
The people like it.
What people?
As a person that doesn't know Dawson's Creek, is this like, you know, some shows have their like yearly Halloween episode.
Yeah, like the Boy Meets World one is particularly iconic.
Yeah, like, but they, yeah, like, some shows have, like, their yearly Christmas episode. Mm-hmm. Is this, like, a regular thing for Dawson's Creek to do, like, a yearly, like, scary episode?
I honestly have no fucking clue.
And oh, you don't remember?
No, I have no idea. And the thing was, is, like, some of these episodes, like, when we are watching them, I'm like, oh, I remember this. I remember that. Blah, blah, blah. I had no fucking clue that this episode existed. Like, I'm sure I watched it, but like going back and watching this, I was like, what? Like, was this a fever dream? Like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah. I mean, this episode aired on May 5th, 1998. So wasn't a Halloween episode. It was way far away. I mean, we do know, like, we've kind of like done the math and this was a mid-season replacement show. But even if, like, 11 episodes into a season, I don't think lines up with Halloween.
Halloween would have to be sooner than 8 episodes in.
Like, it's just, probably 8?
Yeah,
maybe even less
or
than that.
Or 6? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fucking weird.
Like, it's pretty bizarre. But I do want to say, like, because there's going to be a lot of people that are big fans of Jason and Friday the 13th,
right,
and Scream. And I'm sure the reason why it has such a high rating is because there's people that love scary shit. You notoriously hate
scary stuff. Yeah.
I am not like a huge fan of scary stuff. I mean, for me, it's not like I despise this episode. And of course, we're going to go all through it. It's just that it, like you said, it was like a fever dream. I was like, what show am I watching? Like, what is this?
Yeah,
like,
and it didn't,
how did I get here?
It didn't make sense to me coming right after the episode we just
watched.
It just felt like a completely different point in the show. Like,
it's
like
so,
Jen and Cliff are like going on a date, and then like, what happened to the Pacey Joey stuff that just fucking fell off a cliff somewhere?
Yeah.
Like, so weird.
That's the other aspect of this episode. I honestly think that it doesn't make sense in the timeline of the show. So I feel as though they maybe wanted to make this episode and they didn't really care about like what happened before or after this, or this episode got like moved around. Like, remember,
I feel like it, with the Boy Meets World stuff, I feel like it gotten moved around at some point because it just feels like out of place.
It feels out of place. It's almost like they didn't really care what happened. It's almost like this is meant to be a standalone episode, and I'm curious, like, if this is something that they just played on Halloween on like a random syndication, and somebody that is not watching the series in order, if they turn on this episode without knowing like what happened in the episode before or the episodes leading up to this episode, if they would be more into it, because, you know, like, there's a lot of stuff that happened in episode 10. And from the feedback that I've read, it's season 10, season 1, episode 10 is a lot of people's favorite episode of season 1.
I believe that. Yeah, it's just this doesn't make sense in the place where it is. And I guess at this point, yeah. I guess we can get into it because we'll talk through yeah. all of that. So I wrote kind of my normal list that I give you of like, these are the pairings. Where do you want to go? This episode is kind of a shit show because we do have like a big group. So what we have is Dawson and Joey, obviously, Dawson and Pacey, Dawson mm-hmm. and Cliff, Dawson and Jen, yeah. Pacey yeah. and Joey. And then we have just Jen sprinkled in some Cliff. And then we have kind yeah. of like the seance group is what I'm calling it.
So like, let's like lay the land and like, let's just talk about what we're doing here. So Dawson is a big fan of Friday the 13th. Apparently it's his favorite day of the year. And he
okay, sorry. Now I just realized, like, I wonder if this premiered on a Friday the 13th.
No, because I actually, well, number one, it premiered on the 5th.
Oh, okay, but, so then it wouldn't, yeah. I was just thinking, because like, it's not Halloween, it's a Friday the 13th.
I know, so that's what I was thinking about as well, because that would make sense. Right. But then, like I said, it took place, it aired on
so, sorry, you did fifth. Say that. Yeah, that's fucking weird then.
So I'm out of curiosity, just to be studious, like, I'm going to look at what May 5th, looked like on a calendar in 1998. What were you doing in May of 1998,
Jessica? I was turning seven. Sorry, I was six. I wasn't mm-hmm. even seven yet. Yeah. I was probably fucking doing little kid shit. I don't know.
What do little kids do? I
was probably reading Junie B. Jones. That's what I was uh-huh. doing.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you that May 13th, 1998 was a Wednesday.
Well, this is bullshit then. This placement makes no sense, and it just like further proves the point that this fucking episode makes no sense. Sorry.
Yeah.
Continue.
Yeah.
Dawson likes Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th. It's like his favorite day of the year. I guess that's his favorite quote unquote holiday. That's not really a holiday, but he loves to pull pranks, and his parents have like dipped again. They
such a trope.
Where are they going? More couples therapy? I don't know.
Dude, like, maybe they're swingers. Like, honestly.
Oh,
like,
I could see that.
At this point, it's like, except where the Mitch fuck are your jealous. Parents all the time? But yeah, like, his parents are gone, so he wants to do a seance. And that kind of is, like, where we're...
His vibe.
Where we're
apparently,
starting.
He's done it before.
He probably does it every year. Like, so that's kind of, like, laying the land. Yeah. That's what's going on.
Yeah, so... In the beginning with Dawson and Joey, they're watching a scary movie.
It's I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Oh, that's what it is. Mm. I did like that movie at that time because I don't know how it's not like horribly scary.
I've never seen it.
Oh, really? Mm-mm. Well, it's because Freddie Prinze Jr. and Sarah Michelle Gellar are just like such an iconic couple. Yeah. And any movie that they're in together is always a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So Joey hates scary stuff. Mm-hmm. She's a big wuss, like I guess you and I. They're flirty, right? They're flirty.
There's a lot of flirting happening because, yes. like, basically, I really thought we were going to get the trope of, like, Joey being scared and, like, grabbing onto Dawson, which doesn't, like, mm-hmm. really happen. But, like, Joey's like, oh, the world's already a scary enough place. And then we find out that, like, there's a serial killer that's terrorizing, mm-hmm. like, the Cape. And Dawson scares Joey and they get, like, super wrestly again. Like, this is not the first time they've wrestled. It's very, very flirty. And that's like how we open the episode, like we always do in Dawson's bedroom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the lay of the land here.
I think we should just bop to Pacey and Dawson real quick because they're also kind of like a quickie to get out of the way.
A quickie.
Yeah. So like Dawson and Pacey are talking and like basically Pacey is the one who lets us know that Dawson's like super into Friday the 13th and Dawson's like, oh, I'm over it this year. I tried to turn my life into a movie. The characters were flawed and uninspired. Like the love scenes were disappointing. Like, okay,
Dawson.
No,
he said the love scenes. Yeah, he said the love scenes were amateur.
That's right.
At least he knows.
He is like, honestly, he's such a sad fucking sack. And like, how long has it been now since like they broke up? Like, are we in Charlotte York territory of like being done with this?
I would say we're probably around 4 Creek Weeks.
Okay. It's been 4 Creek Weeks. So he still has some time, right?
2 Creek Weeks. And then he needs to be done. Oh, he's done. But I have to say, we'll get into it. There was some questionable things happening. Yeah. And now we might add like four more creek weeks to gang over.
He gets an extension.
He gets an extension because Jen is giving him some mixed signals.
That's how I feel about it. So Pacey's trying to like get Dawson like pumped up, and of course like Dawson is fibbing, and like he like puts a scary thing in his locker and scares him.
Yeah, he's got pranks all over the place. Yeah. He's like booby trapping everything. Yes. He's got like this he has like that scary mask in Pacey's locker. He puts like a fake snake in Joey's
binder or something.
Yeah, I was going to call it a sleeping bag. Now, that would be, advanced. Advanced.
So, like, basically Dawson is playing pranks on everybody. And So I guess if we can kind of go chronologically at this point, like, Jen gets asked out by Cliff. And, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like they'd been there, done that. Like, it didn't work out.
Well, I mean, so we left it off at the carnival. And basically, I think that Jen was more upset with Cliff that night. I don't think that date.
You mean like, Dawson?
I don't think that. She was mad at Dawson. Yeah. Yes, excuse me.
No, that's okay.
I don't think that Jen has anything from that day to be frustrated at Cliff with. So then, like, but the weird thing is that it's another reset. Like, because we already had, like, hypothetically Cliff say, like, hey, like, do you want to go on a date? And she's probably like, oh, I don't know about dating. I got screwed over. Like, we would have already had this conversation prior to.
Right.
It's almost like this episode should have gone before.
The double date.
The carnival episode.
Yes, exactly. It's so weird.
That would have made more sense chronologically because even after the scene. I just think that it's weird that Jen just like sits at the lunch table with everybody.
Yeah, it's so awkward. Like it's like there's multiple. Yeah, it's really weird. And like it's also really weird that like so then she agrees to go out with Cliff. But like the entire time she's like, oh, Dawson's great. Dawson's this, Dawson's that. And it's like,
yeah,
so awkward.
Let's do ourselves a favor. Let's live in a world of imagination that this episode happened before the carnival episode or double D, but then she wouldn't have. Then no, what happens at the end?
It's still, yeah, it wouldn't make sense.
Okay, this is just a plot hole.
So yeah, so basically, like she does agree to go out with Cliff, and Cliff then goes to Dawson and is like, "Oh, help me out, bro!" Like,
which so is stupid because Cliff knows that you know
Dawson's not over her.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and so it was awkward. A very bad move.
And here's the thing. Like, so let's talk about then what happens subsequently with Jen, and then we'll bop over to, like, Sam's crew, right? Like,
yes.
With Jen, she then gets, like, a note says you're going to die. She gets, like, a phone call from a stranger.
Yeah,
that's, like, that a was screen spooky. Parody.
That was very scary.
Yeah.
So, like, there's, like, this whole thing on the phone. It's, like, a 5-minute scene of her on the phone being scared.
Because it's the Drew Barrymore, like, Scream homage. Like,
which is so iconic.
Yeah, she even calls it out. And she's, like, I'm sorry, but Jen with the knife, she nearly, like, cuts her poor grandfather. And then Grams walks in and she nearly, like, slices fucking Grams' throat.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, my God.
I did actually gasp the first time watching when Grams' hand falls down.
Yeah.
That did scare me.
Yeah.
That did.
So my favorite though, one of my favorite plot lines in this shit show of an episode was like when Cliff comes to pick up Jen.
Yes.
And like Grams loves Cliff. Grams wants Cliff's dick. Like she like all up in her mouth because she is like hot for Cliff. Like she sees Cliff and she's like, oh my goodness, Jennifer, he goes to church. Like she is all about it.
Jennifer, I just wanted you to know that he's a good guy. And then, like,
yes,
he lets her, he lets her do like everything. Like,
yeah.
Like, oh, you can have like an extended curfew to 12.
So ridiculous. He's like, oh, like, don't worry, I'll keep her safe. And she's like, oh, you stay out as long as you'd like, Jennifer and Clifford. I love how she calls him Clifford.
Clifford. I know.
Yeah. It was so ridiculous. Like, and then we'll get, I mean, I guess we can like kind of talk about it now, but like the ending scene where like Jen and Cliff are like saying goodnight and Grams walks out and she's like, oh, don't let me stop you from putting your tongue in my granddaughter's mouth. Please continue. Make babies fornicate on my front porch. I don't mind. Like, so insane to me that she just like throws all of her rules out the window. She doesn't give a shit about anything the minute that she sees that Cliff goes to church. She's just rules are gone. I know. Do whatever you want.
Well, it's the fact that he goes to church. It's the fact that he's on the honor roll. It's the fact that he's on the football team. It's like, Grams, just because he's good on paper doesn't mean that he's like good for Jen. No. Like, come on, girl.
Yeah, and even Jen is like, I think my grandmother like has a crush on you. Like, do you want to like get with her?
But I think that Cliff is less appealing to Jen because Grams is all up his ass.
Oh, 100%. I find it weird that Jen would even like, again, I'm not saying that Jen is like a judgy bee, but like being that religion for her is not something that she has a priority on. Like, I'm surprised that she would like go out with Cliff, who like, I mean, I assume being that Grams is all about him, he's like at church every week, you know, like based on what Grams seems to think. But
yeah,
I don't know. But did you know when you heard, because I had not remembered this episode, right? So when I'm listening to the phone call that Jen gets, did you realize that it was Cliff?
I think that I didn't realize by the voice that it was Cliff. I think that towards the beginning, I figured it was Cliff.
Yeah.
Just as a guess. It makes sense. I knew it wasn't Dawson.
Yeah. And it makes sense for the storyline that it would be Cliff. I recognized his voice, actually. I was
they really used Scott Foley's voice? Because I feel like him. You think so? I think that's kind of rare. Like, I'm surprised that it just wasn't some, like, weird, like, producer in the corner.
I think it was, like, to me, it very much sounded like he was putting on a voice, but it was still him.
Hi, Jessica.
Yeah, like, hello, oh, Jennifer. That sounds like a chain smoker Grams. but, yeah, like, this, so what do we think about, while we're here, what do we think about Cliff and Jen?
Okay, so I do like Cliff. Like, I think that Cliff is, like, he's good stock. No, I think he's, like, a good guy.
I do. Like, I do. I feel bad for him, right? Like, I think we're supposed to pity him, honestly.
Yeah. Like, I think that, I don't think that he's bad for Jen or Jen's not right for him. But it's obvious to me that Jen really wants to be unattached. Mm-hmm. And I think that she really... I think that Cliff is too much of a good guy. Like, and I don't mean like good guy, like Dawson thinks that he's a good guy.
Dawson is a like good guy, air quotes.
I think, yeah. I think Jen wants like a bad boy. And I think that Cliff is too much of a golden boy.
I think here's the thing. I think that for Jen, I think Cliff just doesn't excite her. I think like he doesn't bring any, and I don't think she needs to date a guy.
But Dawson like, doesn't excite her. Maybe she needs to stop dating the most boring fucks in Dawson's Creek.
I think that like Dawson excited her in that like he was different than any guy she had dated before. But I think that like, I think that Cliff is just like so bland, and I just don't think they have a lot in common.
Oh,
and so I think that it's just like there's nothing there. And I think like, I think Cliff is a great guy. Don't get me wrong. Like, I think he's great. However, I think he's like very misguided and kind of stupid because like who asks a girl's ex-boyfriend for like advice, especially if you think that that guy still has feelings for the girl you're trying to go after? Do you not get it in your head that like maybe he's going to try to sabotage you by telling you that the girl that you like really loves to be scared? Excuse me. Even though doesn't seem like that. Do we think?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we might as well get into it now because we're already here. But like, do we think that Dawson was trying to sabotage Jen and Cliff by telling Cliff that Jen likes to be scared?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I think so, too. Yeah. And I think he's like, oh, you seemed to want to be scared earlier, so I thought that's what you liked. Like, I feel like that'd be his defense.
Yeah. I think that Cliff is going to be fine. He's going to go off to college, become the president of his fraternity.
Yes.
Like, he's going to get a nice little cushy, like,
office job
finance somewhere. Yeah.
He's going to marry, a pretty girl who used to be a cheerleader.
Exactly. Yeah. And he's going to have, 3 kids, the white picket fence. Like, Cliff is going to be fine.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about Cliff and his dating life.
No, we need to worry about, literally everybody else here.
Everybody else. Like, I think out of everybody, I think that Clifford's future looks the brightest.
And, yeah, honestly, yes. So, I guess let's move on.
And ultimately, he tells Jen that he was behind it all, and that upsets her.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't like it. And then she's like, you know what? I really don't want a boyfriend. And if I ever did go on a date with you, then I just want you to be yourself. But the issue is that I think you're right, ultimately. He honestly has no personality.
No, he's too boring, I think, bland, for Jen. Boring. Yeah, and if she's going to, date around and go on various dates with various guys, right? I don't think she... This is my perspective. I don't think she took Cliff seriously. I thought she saw him as I'll go on a couple dates with this guy. But he turned out to be very interested in dating her solely, monogamously. And I just don't think that's what she was game for. She didn't want a relationship.
That's not what she was looking for at that time in her life. And it's Dawson he's kind of boring, but...
Dawson
he's kind of crazy.
At least he's interesting toxic. In that he's very toxic, but at he's least toxic. He has more going on in terms of he's interested in film. You know, he's interested in different things, but he's also let's talk about the fact that these 4 people that are sitting at the cafeteria table, Pacey, Joey, Jen, and Dawson, there's 4 love triangles in between these 4 people.
Oh, yeah.
It's insane.
So much.
Pacey's interested in Joey, although you wouldn't be able to tell by this episode. Pacey's interested in Joey. Joey's really? Interested because, in Dawson. Yeah. Dawson's interested in Jen. Jen is maybe sort of kind of interested in Dawson, but Dawson's also kind of interested in Joey. And it's holy fucking shit in this one table. This is insane.
Yeah. Yeah, they need separate lunch periods.
Honestly. And this is where we get Jen being this from Jen kind of pissed me off a little bit. Because she is upset because, Dawson keeps pranking, Jen, or excuse me, keeps pranking Joey and Pacey. And she's like, I don't get a scare. Aren't we still friends? No, bitch. You've rescinded that offer. You took that shit back.
Yes. Yes. Last week you said that we can't be friends anymore. What That's a fuck? Great point.
You fucking just said it one creek week ago.
One creek week ago. You made it pretty clear. Obviously, there's some things, there's some happenings going on that we don't know of.
Ridiculous to me. All of a sudden she's and it's so weird. And I think this is the thing. Jen, go get 4 fucking friends. Go find a fucking different table to sit at.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
You have to.
You're sitting with your ex-boyfriend and the girl that has a huge, ginormous crush on him.
I know, but now I think Jen and Joey are friends.
That's
I think
fair.
We've crossed that line.
That's fair, but she can make other friends. Jen seems like a decent friend, I think.
Yeah.
And so it's weird to me. Go fucking find somebody else to sit with, dude.
Anybody else. Yeah. Anybody else.
This was a fucking shit show.
I know. But these 3 are social
pariahs.
Killers. Because she associated herself with them, her whole entire social life is fucked now.
Oh, she's okay, so this is the beginning of Clueless or 10 Things I Hate About You, where they're those are the nerds, those are the jocks, mm-hmm. those are the whatever. And those are the creeks.
Yeah. And those are the creeks. And the only person that can save her is Cliff.
Ooh.
The
do you
only
think,
person.
Yes, yes. Because he's part of the jock crew. Do you think they're called the Creek Creeps? I feel like that would be that. That would
the
be
The Creek Creeps. Oh, my God. Yes.
I know. And I love these characters, the so don't get me wrong. But, I just feel the fact that they don't have any other friends besides themselves is an indication of something.
Yeah, yeah. I do like the interaction at this lunch table. I put out a tweet, for whatever reason, whenever Dawson pranks Joey, I'm oh, he's so annoying. He's so irritating, gross. But the second that, like, Pacey pranks Joey, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, that's so cute. Like, do you see? Like, she's like, ew, Pacey, you're so gross. Like, get out of here. And I'm like, yeah. All in.
Yeah, I do think I'm a like, sucker. There was like a little bit of a like Pacey Joey thing in this episode, but like definitely scaled back from what we've seen previously. And I also mm-hmm. felt like, we'll get into it. I guess we can kind of get into it now where like they're prepping to go to the store. So it's Pacey, Joey, and Dawson are like prepping to go to the store for the seance. And when they're in there, Dawson and Pacey witness, and this is the trigger warning we were kind of talking about, the content mm-hmm. warning we were talking about. Dawson and Pacey witness like a domestic assault situation, I guess is what I would call it, in the convenience store where there's two characters, Eddie and Ursula. They're like very loudly arguing. Like Eddie seems to be like grabbing Ursula, like definitely putting his hands on her, and just like mm-hmm. they're having a tiff. And like, not for nothing, but the fact that Pacey is the one who's like, oh, should we like intervene? And Dawson's like, no, it's just a domestic dispute. What the
yeah.
fuck?
Yeah, just a domestic squabble. Back off. It's like, once again, like, Pacey is just so much more emotionally intelligent.
I know.
Like,
at least, like, hello. I know they don't have, like, cell phones, but, like, alert the store guy to call the cops or, like, do something, because it's very obvious to everybody that, like, mm-hmm. this isn't a good situation. Right. And Eddie, like, leaves without Ursula. Then Ursula approaches Pacey and asks if they're mm-hmm. having a party. And she asks, like, if they need wine. And this is where I felt, like, and I mean, Pacey's always kind of been like, again, like the go with guy, like the yes man.
Yes.
But yeah, all yeah. of this stuff between him and Ursula felt very early season one Pacey to me.
Right. Yeah. That just like the fact that any woman is attracted or flirty with Pacey, right. he's automatically wanting to jump at her no matter who she is, how old she is, like what her deal is.
Yeah.
Not a good move. I mean, later in the episode, like, Joey basically calls him out, says that you have like a mother complex and you have issues, essentially. Oh,
yeah, this is later in the episode. That's actually my sassy yeah. saying of the week.
Oh, never mind about that.
No, but it's fine. I'll talk about it when we get there. But yeah, so like,
is it safe to assume that Pacey lost his mother?
You know, okay, here's the thing. I don't remember all of it. But what's weird is if that's true, because that's a storyline for Joey. And I'm not saying that it's like not feasible that two people would lose their mothers. It's just more of like, would they do a show where two of the main characters have lost their moms?
Yeah.
We haven't heard about Pacey's mom, though.
Exactly. But it would make sense in the terms of like another thing that Joey and Pacey have in common, which means yeah. that they're good more match, yeah. more connected, like, you know.
No, but I like where your head is going, because, like, it's one of those things where it's like, maybe, and we don't know anything about Pacey's mom. Like, we still don't know a ton about Pacey's home life. We know his brother and his dad are both cops, and we know he has issues with them. But, like, that's all we right. know. And it would make a lot of right. sense, because granted, he's also just a teenage boy. And so, like, I feel like he's just, like, him being, like, woman obsessed, just kind of, I mean, not that all guys
know,
are like that.
Like,
I don't want to generalize.
He goes after older women. Like, he has mommy yeah. issues.
Well, I also think he was kind of just like, oh, give me a bottle of wine. Sounds great. Like, you'll get us a
yes,
bottle of wine. I don't,
yes.
yeah.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
And the best part is the way that Pacey says, I wrote this down, the way that Pacey says Cabernet uh-huh. Sauvignon, yeah. Cabernet Sauvignon, I think is what he said.
Sauvignon. Yeah,
that's right.
I honestly, we forgot to do our 90s nightcap, and I'm drinking a cab right now, and I was yes. going to introduce it as Cabernet Sauvignon.
I did laugh out loud at that part of the episode. I thought that was very funny.
Yeah, my favorite.
Yeah.
That's what he said. Favorite. He's like, it's my favorite. It's my favorite too, Pacey.
Yeah. Oh, and when they're in the convenience store, Joey is approached in the car by a man. And I did like, I wish that Joey would have locked the doors, but I did appreciate that she only rolled down the window like ever so slightly to like yes. have the conversation. Because this guy was
a little
straight up
more
creep.
Than I wanted.
She could have fit his arm in there. And we know that she didn't lock the doors because Dawson was able to just, like, get right in after. Such a creepy thing. That'll come back later when we find out that he was, like, the serial killer, which, of course, that's revealed, right? Like,
yes, whatever. Of course. Yeah, he was creepy. He was asking for directions. He was like,
of course, classic
the most
line.
Intense eyes.
Ew.
It's like, ooh, ooh, go away, please. But yeah. Dawson actually came in the clutch and was like, excuse me, like, can I help you? And the guy backed off. So,
yeah. Yeah, thankfully.
So I was grateful for that.
But yeah, like, we get into this, the most bizarre part of the entire episode is where we are right now, where they're at the seance, and it's this woman, this Eddie guy, comes, like, barreling after Ursula, and so Pacey's like, oh, get in the car, like, I mean,
yeah,
I guess
he invited her, but yeah, they, like, get in the car, he's, like, the Eddie guy is, like, hitting the car, they, like, drive off, and they, like, invite the psychopath back to Dawson's house.
I know. I just think that, like, in this situation, right, we could look at it as Ursula is a woman who needs help. Like, it's obviously a toxic relationship. She's not in a good spot here. But you don't know her. She's still a stranger. Right. She's an adult stranger in your teenage kids. Like, my mind is like, bring her to the police station. Like, don't bring her to your home. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it just I don't seems think I like, would have thought the police station if I was 15. But yeah, I see what you're saying. That's the most logical option.
Yeah, I guess it's whatever. But like, I just think it's very strange that they bring her back and then they're doing this whole seance. And this woman is fucking like, whoa, like, what is going on? She just, like, she thinks that the head in the freezer is, like, the funniest shit she's ever seen.
Oh, my God. Like, yes. Every single time she... So, Dawson, like, booby-trapped the house with, like, 500 pranks. Yes. And, like,
which pranks, she... Can we just talk for a second? Are you, like, a pro prank? Or are you, like, con... Or what is it? Pro or against pranks?
So, I do... I like a prank... Like, I would say, like, I'm a moderately mischievous person. Like, I like, but I don't use props. I use jokes and words, but I don't like scare tactic pranks.
Yeah. I just think it's very, like, juvenile. Granted, they're teenagers, but, like, I just don't find stuff like that very funny. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I think it's. I don't know. I'm really just not like a prank person, but this lady is a fucking prank. Like, she loves
it. Oh my God.
It,
she screams and laughs like a hyena. She's insane. And then, yeah. So then they're like around the seance table. They're telling like ghost stories. Like, everyone's telling ghost stories.
Cliff's story. And here's the thing. It makes sense.
Psychotic.
It makes sense when you're looking at it in retrospect. Like, he was told by Dawson that, oh, and we didn't even say that, like, Dawson invited Jen and Cliff, and Jen had no clue. Cliff, do me a favor.
Yeah.
If you're going to bring your girl you're trying to woo to on a date, maybe give her a heads up you're going to her ex-boyfriend's house.
Yeah, like, she's like, oh, it's a surprise. It's a surprise.
What the fuck, Cliff? What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, she's probably thinking that she's going to go to La Bougia, and, like, next thing you know... They're going to her ex-boyfriend's house. Like, this is not it.
And this is, like, not even a date. Like, there's a group of people there. Like, what in the fuck? So,
and he's like, this is going to be the most unique date that you've never experienced before in your life.
Poor Cliff. Like, he's so stupid. Like, and then they get there.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe he's just dumb.
He definitely is dumb. Yeah. And they get there and he's like, oh, Jen loves scary things. He tells this story about some snake that goes inside of a baby. And when they pull the snake out, all the baby's insides come out. Cliff, what the fuck is wrong with you? You psychotic
idiot. Did I ever tell you about the snakes in the car story?
No. So is this like a legitimate story or is this like a scary
this
story?
This is a real story. It's not that scary. It's creepy. Okay. It's not scary. So this girl that I went to high school with had a pet snake. The snake was named Dante. And she like loves her snake. Like she like always posts pictures of her snake on Facebook. She loves her snake. One day she says on Facebook, like, my snake is missing. Like she lost her snake. It escaped. It's like gone. And, like, she was so sad, and everyone's like, I'm so sorry you lost Dante. Like, we know that, like, you love him. Yada, yada, yada. 2 fucking months later, not kidding, 2 months later, not an exaggeration, literally 2 months later, she posts that she has found Dante in her fucking car. Dante
was driving around
with the snake. Dante was living in her car for like 2 months. I'm sure Dante like left the car to go fight for mice or whatever.
How the fuck, first of all, how do you have a snake in your car and not see it?
It lives in the engine, Jess. Or like in the underneath of the
car. No, it would roast. It would roast if you drove it.
I don't know. It's a real story.
How big is the snake?
It was a moderately large snake. I don't know. It wasn't like
Britney Spears style.
No. It wasn't that big. But it wasn't like a little garden snake. No, it wasn't that big. But it wasn't a garden snake. It was, I don't know.
Fuck?
Like an arm length of a snake?
Like, yes. I'm not afraid of snakes, but like, I don't want a snake as a pet. Again, doesn't pass the fuzzy test.
Not if it lives in cars and is fine. It's like legit. She's like, oh my gosh, like I found Dante, but like he's been living in my car for 2 months. And I was like, every single time I think of snakes, I think of that story.
Can you imagine? Like imagine being her friend.
Driving around like, with a snake
sitting
in
her
car.
Yeah, imagine being her friend and like getting in to go like shopping or something together, and then you're just sitting there and a fucking snake crawls out from under the seat. Tell me you wouldn't fucking piss your pants. Like,
oh no,
honestly.
I would die. Like there was a TikTok that was actually pretty funny that I watched, and it was like this like woman was driving and a snake was like hanging out like at her like front window.
Out of her window? Oh my god.
And it was like staying on, like grasping on. And it was like, excuse me, like can you please leave? And she didn't know how to get rid of it.
What the oh, wasn't her snake? I thought it was her pet.
No, this is a different story. This is on TikTok.
No, I know, but I thought the woman, I thought that that was her pet. It's not her pet.
No, it was like a snake that,
oh my god,
like that snake like fell out of a tree and like
what
really
the
got
fuck?
Stuck. Yeah, lots of snake stories.
Honestly.
I'm sorry if anyone's afraid of snakes. People are
terrified. I know. We
should have
put a trigger
warning
for fucking snakes at the beginning of this podcast.
snakes. Honestly. If anybody has a snake/car story, please let me know.
Yes, please. We'd love to know. That's fucking... Honestly, Cliff's story was so fucking bizarre. But then...
Okay, yeah.
Not to be like outdone, fucking Ursula is like... And the camera, they always do this in scary movies where like when someone's telling a story and you're supposed to be really interested, they like zoom in very slowly on them. And Ursula is like, oh, there was this time where these kids let this crazy stranger in and she had a knife in her purse and she slit all their throats. And everybody's just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, that would freak me out, too. I would be like, you know what? Maybe we should kick this woman out. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it was real fucked. And then, of course, like, Dawson has triggered the house for, like, the lights to go out and the phone, like, to be disconnected. Which, like, honestly, for safety reasons, seems very bad, Dawson. Like, you already live in, like, Dawson's Creek where, like, we know that the internet and the phones and shit aren't very good. And you live in the middle of fucking nowhere. And you're going to just cut your phone lines, Dawson? Not a good idea.
Can I just say a quick update about Dante the snake?
Oh, my God. Yes, please.
Apparently, I follow Dante the Snake on Facebook, and he has his own Facebook profile.
What the fuck? How old is Dante? This is fucking weird.
This
podcast has taken a turn.
Dante is still kicking. Dante posts memes. Dante was Heisenberg for Halloween. I'm gonna send you this picture.
What the fuck? What does that even mean? How was a snake dressed up for Halloween? They put a hat on him or glasses?
Fuck? Here you go. I'll post. If anyone wants to see Dante snake for Halloween.
Did they draw a mustache on him or is that what he normally... This is a big snake, Sarah. You cannot just lose this snake. tell me.
So are you saying that this story is a lie?
I'm not saying. Are you saying
that I got duped?
No, 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 no. What I'm saying is this story is probably true, but that girl's fucking car is a fucking mess. Like, she's the bitch who has like McDonald's bags and like fucking 16 pairs of shoes and clothes in the back seat, and this fucking snake made a nest out of her old fucking bras that are in the back seat. Guarantee it.
Yeah.
Guarantee.
Gosh, it. I'm really trying hard to find this story of like, Dante the snake.
I feel like I could stand next to her car and list off, like, if you gave me like 7 tries, I could find at least 5 things in that car. I guarantee it. Like, there's no way.
You're right. No you're way. Right. Okay. Well, I'm going to have That's to let go insane. Of Dante the snake's Facebook page.
I'm very I happy to have discovered off. This. Honestly, this conversation that we're having right now is better than anything that happened in this episode. We know it's true.
Okay, I got one more thing about snakes. There's yes, the snake that I follow on Instagram. Guest.
This is our other sister podcast, the Snake Guest.
There's a snake that I follow on Instagram, and his name is Tofu, and he's the fucking cutest thing I've ever seen in my life.
You follow a snake on Instagram? What is that happening?
Tofu's really cute. Maybe I can show you a quick picture of Tofu.
Am I like the only person who only follows like people on Instagram that I either like know or like I also like watch on YouTube? Like, I don't follow anybody that I don't know.
Yeah. You don't follow celebrities?
Not many. I follow what's John Legend's wife's name? I'm like blanking.
Chrissy Teigen.
I follow Chrissy Teigen. I follow YouTubers that I watch. And I follow like some survivors, but I don't follow like many people that I don't know. Okay, I could see how this snake would be cute.
Tell me that snake's not cute.
It's like, is it like albino? It's like very white. Yeah,
it's an albino snake of sorts. Yeah.
Anyway, okay. That was the snake podcast.
Snake cast.
So we left off. The lights are out and the lights are out. Down and Dawson
phone lines are down.
Yeah. Dawson and Ursula are going to like fix the lights. I'm like, why would you ever let yourself be alone with this woman? But like, that's fine. And she calls him out. Like, she's like, oh, I sense flirting. And she's like, don't worry, it'll work out. I see you teasing her. And he's like, oh, I haven't teased her at all. I've been teasing Joey. And she's like, yeah, the brunette. Like, don't worry. Things will work out between you two.
Yeah.
He's like, if the fucking stranger can sense it, give me a break, Dawson.
Yeah. And he's like, no, like, we just have like a friendship connection. Same spiel that he gave to Pacey. And like, Ursula's like, you're bullshit. But then he's like, you know what is so weird? I timed these lights to go out, but somebody jammed the fuse box. What's up with that?
Yeah.
So, meanwhile, like, Joey and Pacey go off on their own, and they're like nagging each other. Like, once again, as we were talking about before, like, Joey's like, you really have like some weird like mom complex.
Yes, and I wrote down the like, quote, because this is my sassy perfect. Saying. Joey we'll says that Pacey's I could say, I mean, I think it's easier just to say it like when it happens in the episode. Joey's says to Pacey, your bizarre mother complex is gonna get us killed. Which I thought was like very good.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then he calls out her and says, well, at least I'm not going to be like going to the grave pining after my best friend. Like,
did you like, feel that in your soul a little bit? Because I kind of felt bad for Joey in that moment.
Well, Joey needs to realize that there's other and better options. But honestly, at this point, Joshua Jackson still has a baby face.
Yeah.
And is he fuckable? No.
No. But at here's this the point thing, of his does life. Does he need to be fuckable when you're 15? No.
I think you have to be attracted to that's a fair. Person.
That's fair. But like, why is she attracted to Dawson?
Because Dawson, James Vanderbeek, is pretty good looking.
I think the hair is what always throws me off, because beyond his hair being bad, like, he's actually a decently looking
guy. Do you want me to Photoshop his hair brown? Because I'm able to do that.
It's not even the color. No. Because when he's in the B in apartment 23 or whatever, I think he's actually very good looking. And I think it's the hairstyle. Yeah. It's not necessarily the color.
Okay.
Yeah. So, because he has that 90s hair, like shaggy hair. It's fine.
Right.
But yeah, so we kind of get into it with like Pacey and Joey, and like they, you know, them going back and forth and kind of bickering. And it just feels weird, because it feels like we're like two episodes ago. It doesn't feel like we had the episode where like Joey and PC had a connection, you know?
I know. I honestly just think that they just threw this episode in this spot, and it wasn't necessarily meant to be episode 11.
Yeah, if anybody, it's really weird.
Like, you know, if any of our listeners who are very well versed in Dawson's Creek and the history of it, and have like insights, and have like, I don't know, the DVDs or whatever you do, let me know without, you know, I'm sure spoiling, there won't be a spoiler, but if anybody knows exactly like what the deal with this episode is, like I am not allowed to go into IMDb trivia. So yeah. I don't know. Maybe do a quick skim through. But and then the third pairing, of course, is Cliff and Jen. And I don't really think like much like goes on, except that like he tries to spook Jen. Jen's like, you know, like, don't be like, you know, Dawson scared me enough, and like talks about the calls again, and like he pretends that he doesn't know about the calls. But that's pretty much the only thing that happened in this segment between Cliff and Jen.
Yeah.
And then meanwhile, then they all come together, and the Dawson's like, where's Joey? And right. They're like, oh, like, she went off. And he's like, you let her off on her own? And then Joey pretends like she got stabbed. Jen's in, like, a creepy costume, and everyone's laughing. And
Dawson gets, like, upset, like, oh, you pushed it too far. Like, was it ridiculous. Too far is my question.
No.
I don't think it was either. He can dish it, but he can't take it.
Yeah, like, he's a baby. But, like, I mean, his pranks are, he's just mad that his pranks are not as good as that prank.
Right. And so then this is when, like, Jen was like, well, you know, you gave me that creepy letter and, like, that creepy phone call. Yeah. And I feel like at this point, if I'm Cliff, I pull Jen aside and I say, listen, that was me. I'm really sorry. Like, I didn't realize. Yeah. He shouldn't just keep this going, because this is leads to Dawson and Jen being alone. So let's talk about this pairing, because this is, like, their one and only scene to, like, alone together.
Okay, yeah. So. Jen, like, talks to Dawson about, you know, like, why did you not prank me? Like, why did you set up this date with, like, Cliff and I here? Like, what's the deal?
Yeah, like, oh, we're supposed to be friends, but, like, then you, like, didn't prank me. And then, like, why did you invite Cliff? And Dawson says, oh, I invited, you know, you guys to help Cliff out. And she's like, what? Like, it doesn't make sense. And then she kind of clocks that, like, oh, well, you did it to watch over me. Now, like, do we think that's Dawson's intention to, quote unquote, watch over Jen?
I think that he would rather watch a date between Jen and Cliff than be miserable and assume shit's happening because he's not seeing it.
Ooh, what if he's like, if they come over here, first of all, it's spooky, so it's not necessarily like romantic.
Yeah.
And second of all, they're not going to be making out in front of us, so at least they're not doing that. I also think it's like, oh, let me show Jen how creative and imaginative I can be. You know what I mean?
I know. He really held on to that line. He's like, oh, she really said that about me?
Yes.
Like, okay.
Yes. And so
alrighty.
Then, were you expecting this? Then they almost kiss. What is fucking happening, dude?
So they almost kiss. And then they're like, not a good idea. That was really weird, guys. Like, that was so weird. And
Jen even says, like, oh, I don't want to be crossed off, your list. Because he it's like, oh, I crossed your off your list. So that's of pranking, blah, blah, blah. She's like, oh, I don't want to be crossed off your list. And then, like, she leaves. And it's, like, leaves it on such a weird note. Because, obviously, then she kind of, like, isn't interested in Cliff. And, like, it's just, it's left so on, this makes in me, such a weird spot.
I know. So this makes me feel as though she still has feelings for him. He obviously still has feelings for her. And then this makes me feel like there's possibility of a rekindlement of their relationship.
Well, right. And there's two episodes left. Let's keep that in mind, right? Like, we're on episode 11. Mm-hmm. We have 12 and 13 left of season one. And we're now in this spot where let's get into, like, the final scene between Dawson and Joey, because I do think there's also, like, repercussions there where, you know, Joey's left, the only one left when everybody else leaves, and Joey's like, oh, would you even be, this was like such a fucking stupid conversation, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, would you be upset if I died? First of all, even if you're just friends, you'd be fucking upset if you died. Like, what's wrong with you?
Would you be upset if I died?
I'd be inconsolable.
I don't think that you're being serious. I think we'd be okay. I'm not,
because it's such a stupid fucking question. Like, it's so stupid. Like, it's so awkward, because then he's like, Joey, I'd be inconsolable. And then
that makes Joey happy.
Then Joey's super happy. And then he's like, would you be upset if I died or whatever like that? And she just is like, yeah. And then Joey sleeps over, which I thought we were done with that. I thought we had moved on.
Yeah, no more sleepovers. You're not supposed to have any more sleepovers.
They break all the fucking rules that they like set out for each other. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, this episode, I don't know. I think it deserved a 4.8, not an 8.4.
Seriously, it's so fucking ridiculous, this whole episode. And I know. So where do you think, also, I did find on IMDb, it says,
yeah,
despite being listed as episode 11 on IMDb, this episode is actually listed as episode 10 on the DVD and seems to come before the episode listed as 10 on IMDb because of the order of Jen's relationship with Cliff. So maybe that makes sense then. This one was supposed to be number 10.
Look at me. I did it.
I figured it out. Fucking detective babysitters. Nailed it again.
I'm a detective babysitter. Nailed it again.
So it does make sense.
I know. So it's just like the Boy Meets World thing. So it's fine. I mean, we also have to say, like, there is like a lot of craziness because, like, Eddie found
I forgot that whole Ursula. Thing, yes.
And then, like, this is where it gets like really crazy. Like, he's like banging on windows and smashing shit. He breaks into the house through Joey's ladder and starts like choking Pacey. Joey, yes, like, knocks him out with some object. And then a Ursula's frying pan. Like,
what is this, a cartoon? Oh, a frying pan.
It's like the dinosaurs.
And she bangs Ursula's him on the head, like, five times.
Yeah, Ursula's like, get off of him. Then the couple, like, makes out, says, I love you. And this is like, these kids are weird. And then bounces. But then they leave. But then they're like, oh, sorry about all the broken windows. Like, I work at the bowling alley. Like, I'll let you borrow some shoes for free. It's like, okay, does that equal the cost of replacing half the windows in the house? I don't think so.
It was so weird and fucked up. And it was like, okay, this is obviously, like, a very toxic situation. Again, like, very problematic. And, like, she just goes back with him. I mean, obviously, it's an unsafe situation, but she does anyway. And it's like, very, like, blew in and blew out like the fucking wind. Like, it was insane. Mm-hmm. Like, that whole scene, I was like, what in the fuck? Just like, these people need like to go to the police, and they need to like probably get some like therapy for fucking poor Pacey, who got choked. Like, insanity. Like, absolute insanity. And then we get and then it's back to like Romance City as if nothing happened. Like, it's so weird.
These people are insane.
Yeah, and then so then now we're left with two episodes to go before the finale, or two episodes to go of season one. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious. I mean, we usually do this at the very, very end, but I think it makes more sense to do it here. Like, what do you see happening? The next episode's called Beauty Contest. So, like, what are you seeing happening between, like, we have, like, the Joey Dawson thing, we have the Dawson Jen thing, and then you have, like, Pacey somewhere in between?
I think that I don't think we're going to get into the Pacey stuff yet. I think we're reserving that for a future season. But to be continued, they planted that seed, and that's it for now. Like, Pacey has enough respect for Dawson to stay away from his friend's non-girl. I think that we're going to reignite this, like, bullshit relationship between Jen and Dawson at least once more. Because, I'm thinking, beauty contest is such a weird name for an episode. Like, I'm thinking, like, homecoming queen, and, like, both Jen and Joey somehow are both up to become homecoming queen, and, like, they're both prepping, and, like, I don't know. That's, like, I don't know. I mean, Jen's definitely involved in the beauty contest at one point, and I wouldn't be surprised if Joey is, like, looking for a scholarship or a grant to get out of the creek, so she signs up to the beauty contest too. That seems a little hokey. That seems like a a Boy Meets World episode, not really a Dawson's Creek episode, but whatever.
Well, we'll
my
see.
Fantasy.
There you go.
My fantasy. Yeah, we'll see.
What did you have as your sassy saying? Because I already said mine. So what was yours this week?
I think that it's not really a sassy saying, but I definitely highlighted the Kay Burnett Savignon.
My too favorite. Good not. Yeah.
It's too I thought good that was too. Really good. And I mean, it's not sassy again, but, like, can I hear you say, yeah.
Anything Pacey says is what we're going for this week.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, at this point, like, I don't know how, but in, like, a timing of 3 episodes, I just became, like, a big Pacey stan. I don't even know, like, what
happened. I'm so happy that we've arrived, because I was waiting for this to happen, and it was very disappointing. Again, I do think this episode was a step back for the character, and it makes so much more sense that this should have been episode 10, because I feel like once we get, like, a more serious episode of Pacey with Joey, it's like, where the fuck did we go? Like, did we go reverse, you know?
Can I say, yeah.
Yeah. And then for the notable 90s song, the only one that sounded remotely familiar was I don't know what the name of it is. I tried Googling it. It's not like Amazon Prime where you can, like, pause and see everything. But it was "Don't Hold Me to the Promises I Can Hardly Keep." And that was when Dawson and Jen, it was, like, such a dramatic scene between Dawson and Jen. But it's not like Blink-182, so it's fine.
No, I'm telling you, they just spent all their budget on that one song.
They did.
Never coming back from that.
Do we want to get into the feedback?
Yes. So, our first email today is from Stefan.
Yes.
And he goes, "Hey, ladies, written by Mike White. Is this episode written by Mike White?" Can you IMDb check that?
I'm looking.
Okay, so Mike White is obviously he's the writer of that Jack Black movie. School of Rock.
He is listed as a writer. It says Kevin Williamson is created by Kevin Williamson and Mike White wrote it. That is very funny considering how much we just trashed it.
The connection between why that's exciting is because Jess and I both watched Survivor. Mike White was on Survivor.
Yes.
So that's very interesting.
Very funny.
Then he wrote, "I take back what I said. I wish Dawson and Jen were back together. They are insufferable apart." Oh, that's a hot, spicy take.
I mean, you get what he's saying, though, right? Take. We're so tired of, like, miserable Dawson. And, like, Jen has been, like, not a great character since they broke up.
No, yeah. I mean, we definitely liked Jen a lot more when she was with Dawson. Standing Dawson hard the first half of the season.
And that's the problem where, like, we praised her for breaking up with him, but now she's, like, not great without him.
So wishy-washy. Yeah. He says, "This is a weird episode." We absolutely agree. Mm-hmm. And then he says, "Gramps is the MVP of this episode."
Oh, because of Clifford.
Clifford.
She loves Clifford.
I also, like, do want to note that Dawson had a prank for Jen the whole time with that weird, like, loud letter opener thing.
Yeah, she opened a letter and it made a loud noise and she laughed and then she gave it to Grams and Grams opened
it. But I think that was intentional. I think that, like, the whole time he had a prank.
Listen, we know this was calculated. He was like, she's gonna come out of Cliff. He told Cliff to scare Jen. He knew it wasn't gonna work, and he's like, and then you know what, at the end I'll get the girl with my stupid letter prank.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, so that's what Stefan didn't really have a lot to say because he probably didn't like this episode either. So I wonder what the rankings, the updated rankings for him are. So if you want to send those in, that'd be great.
Oh yeah, we'd love to hear them.
Yeah. We do have another email. Kelly at Dirtbag Kelly on Twitter writes to us and says, "Okay, first of all, I just want to say I'm a new listener. Jumped on when you started to watch Dawson's Creek and really been enjoying. Thank you so much, Kelly. Thank you. Welcome."
Oh, she's a great Twitter handle.
yeah, Dirtbag Kelly.
I love it.
Love that. Listen to some of your Boy Meets World content since as well, depending on my podcast load of the week.
Totally get that.
I know. I always have so much to watch, but thank you for, like, you know, joining us and listening to our content. Anyways, I was wondering if I can get a rehash of Sarah, what she spoiled on, so in future emails I don't spoil anything.
Oh, that's so considerate. Okay, Sarah, go ahead. What do you know already?
Alrighty, so.
And also, fair warning, if you literally know nothing about Dawson's Creek, like, skip ahead, like, a little bit, just so that you don't get spoiled with what Sarah says.
Right.
Sorry, okay, go ahead.
So, the baseline of what I know is that Pacey and Joey have a relationship of some sort, and Dawson and Joey have a relationship of some sort at some point. And I know that there's, like, a big thing if you're a Joey Pacey fan or a Dawson Joey fan. I know that that's, like, a big debate. I don't know when any of this happens, and I don't know, like, how it happens. Aside from that, I know that there's a person named Andy coming in the next season. And then aside from that, guys, I got to tell you, at one point, something really bad happened in my rewatch. So Jessica knows that I am not meant to Google anything, right, Jess?
Not allowed. Like, you're not allowed to
I'm not
Google.
Allowed to Google. But strict at one rules. Point, somebody told me that, or I read somewhere, that Mitch was the Flash or something, and Drew, my fiance's favorite superhero, is the Flash. So I was talking to my fiance about the Flash and Mitch, and I Googled his name. But I think I just wrote Dawson's dad, and then I got spoiled, and it says Dawson's dad died. So I don't know when this happens. I don't know how it happens. I don't know if this is next season, in 7 seasons, but I know that Dawson loses his dad at some point. And then aside from that, is there anything that... I think that's the only things I know, aside from what, of course, we've watched already.
Right. I think that's all that Sarah knows. And they're very, like, vague spoilers. There's some, like, huge plot lines that she knows about. So, I would just steer clear of those types of things. Generally, like, we're trying to keep Sarah as unspoiled as possible. And honestly, for, like, people that are listening, we want this to be friendly enough for people who've not watched Dawson's Creek to jump on board with us and start from the beginning and watch along with us. So we're trying to keep everything very vague if we ever reference anything that will happen in the future. Most of the time we're just going to be talking about, like, how we feel that, you know, how we feel about the storylines that have happened with the characters thus far.
So I'm trying where we are. You know, it's really hard. Obviously, this is a really old show, and it's kind of like you can't get mad if you get spoiled from a really old show.
It's like getting spoiled on, like, Harry Potter at this point, right? Or, like, The Sixth Sense.
Right.
Like, so, yeah. Although I'm doing the other thing, too, that you do know is that I Don't Want to Wait was the theme song, except not on Hulu and Netflix. So you do know that.
Right, which actually, that's another part of Kelly's email. Not having the proper theme song is always so jarring. So it's funny it that you said that.
I feel you, Kelly.
I heard a rumor that it comes back on Netflix in the last season. Can you maybe confirm or deny that rumor?
I'm sorry, they play it on Netflix for the last season? Why would they not buy the rights for the whole season? That doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. Can you? I'm curious. I can't look. But can you look
at that? No. I'll check before next podcast. Yeah.
Okay. So continuing Kelly's email, she says, I believe she only knows about one thing, one central theme. I'm assuming that's their love lives to an extent. Plus, I hope to be sending in future emails or tweets. So thank you so much, Kelly. A couple of thoughts that she had. Jen asking for a scare. Why? Because she's thirsty. She wants the attention.
This is you, Sarah, right? Not Kelly saying this.
Yeah. That's me. Kelly's question was why. I'm saying that Jen is
she feels left
a
out.
Little pathetic.
I think that's it.
Yeah,
I think it's simple as she feels left out.
Why is Cliff asking Dawson for advice on anything throughout the episode?
Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Kelly. Yes.
Yeah. Also, she says it's hard watching Noelle from Felicity suck so hard. So Noelle who's Noelle?
Felicity. Noelle. I'm looking this up.
Is that who Ursula is?
Oh, probably.
But she says about
Noelle is Scott Foley. He's Cliff.
Oh, so probably Noel.
That makes sense.
Okay. Yeah, no. Cliff sucks this episode. Ursula cracked me up throughout this episode. She's honestly, Kelly, she's a fucking nutcase. I don't know what to say.
Yes, she's not great.
She's insane. Jen's being sucky as of late, but Dawson's always being sucky. Dawson sucked as always, yeah. Kelly's on our same page. And then
Kelly is on the same wavelength as us.
Oh, yeah. Solid Pacey showing again. So she writes, looking forward into getting to season 2. Since somebody already brought it up, I'm firmly planting my flag on Team Andy. Come at me. Keep up the good work. Thank you, Kelly.
Look at that.
Who is Andy? Who is Andy? I want to know who Andy is now.
You will see in a few weeks, bitch.
Is Andy, I'm assuming Andy's a girl because everybody has boy names in this crop.
That is very funny that's very funny that you said that. Well, Dawson is a boy's name.
I know. But I'm assuming that Andy's or a boy.
Or I should say boy's name, quote unquote. Names are stupid. Like, any name can be anything. Yeah. Anyway.
I'm thinking that Andy is a potential Pacey love interest. How do you feel about that, Jessica?
I will not divulge what the correct answer is, but I will let you think your thoughts.
All right. I will think my own independent thoughts. That's correct.
Yes. Thank you so much for the fashion hour.
Oh, no.
Yes. I just wanted to thank Kelly so much for the email because that was very fun. We can't wait to hear from you in the future, Kelly.
Yeah. I would be so excited to hear more in the future, more thoughts. Mm-hmm. And thank you again for asking me what I'm spoiled about and not spoiled about.
It was very considerate. I really appreciate that.
And I'm sorry, guys. I got spoiled on Mitch. I that was a stupid move, and I was really caught off guard.
The thing is, I'm happy you at least don't know, more things. Like, you don't know, like, very specific plot points. You know what I mean?
No. And it's just my fault. Like, all I want to do is connect with my fiancé on something on his level. You know? Like, oh, you like The Flash? Like, do you know about this guy who played The Flash? Fashion Hour. So.
Fashion Hour.
Yes. Our first award, the Rachel Green Award for the most 90s outfit. I have Ursula, who is having some crimpy curly hair in like a pulled back, like half up, half down look. I see some spermy brows, some blue eyeshadow, girl. Some red lipstick. This girl is wearing a heart necklace, I think, a silver heart necklace. Then she's wearing a red velour, like shirt that I totally had shirts like this where it was velour. So it's like in some parts it looks darker, some parts it looks lighter. It's a red thing. She's wearing like an eggplanty, like fringe leather jacket. So the weird thing is that is she wearing shorts, Jess, with black shorts, and those are bare legs? Or is this like some weird legging thing?
No, that's definitely, they're definitely tights of some sort. They're just like,
okay,
kind of, yeah, they're just like a but really she's weird, wearing like black shorts color. And
tights. Yeah. This she has like a messenger like, bag.
This girl, first of all, I have so many things to say about her. These eyebrows are the worst brows we've seen thus far. And there have been some spermy brows. These brows are almost non-existent. I wouldn't even necessarily call them spermy brows because they're like the same width the entire way. And they're like penciled on almost.
Oh, you know what they are? They're like the very skinny arch brow.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And the blue eyeshadow, it's all a lot. And you know that necklace Eddie gave her and it turns her neck green. Like, we all know it. You're not fooling anybody, Ursula. Oh, yep, I hate it. Yep, I hate this outfit. I hate everything about it beyond, again, curly hair. I'm there. I'm always here for. But goodness gracious, your eyebrows, girl.
Yeah. Yeah, they're a fright. Next up, we have Joey. And she is wearing... So she's wearing, like, a little sweatshirt hoodie. And then underneath, she's wearing, like, this, like, alpine ski winter motif sweater that has like, you know, like that Christmassy snowflakey pattern across the chest. There's a lot of stripes.
She looks like she's hanging out in a ski lodge.
Yes, it's definitely like a ski snow Christmas motif. Lots of stripes. There's like five different stripes going on. She has her sweater tied around her waist later in the day. Straight hair parted in the middle. It's very like the sweater is definitely something that is like pretty 90s. And I mean, I don't see a 15-year-old wearing this in today's age.
Yeah.
No, I agree. And I only have two nominations for the Rachel Green Award this week.
That's fine. I think like Joey's outfit, like I agree. It's a little bit like bland. I think sometimes Joey does tend to wear stuff that is kind of like baggy, oversized, like just kind of like clothes. Muted. Honestly, yeah. Like maybe she wears like Betsy's hand-me-downs. I don't know. But yeah, I think this one has to go to Ursula just because I've never seen such like in the face 90s. Like,
yes.
It's like the eyebrows, the eyeshadow, the lipstick color, the velour shirt, the neck, the heart necklace. Like, it's all very 90s. And I don't like Ursula. And I like, it sucks that I have to give her this point, but I'm going to do it because she earned it for her trash bag outfit.
Oh, yeah. The fringe, just like the whole aesthetic. Yeah.
It's awful.
Yeah. Next up, we have the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timelessness Award for the most timeless outfit. Our first nomination is Jen, and this outfit is like so my vibe. She is wearing a like tighter like red turtleneck tucked into like some darker wash jeans and a black belt. She has her hair in her classic way, like the, you know, it has a little bit of 90s volume with like a little flippy at the end, but it's really the sweater that's like the star of the party. I this is like a perfect Christmas party at the office sweater, like bright red, beautiful.
The color is very pretty. And I think like, I mean, here's the thing, like all these actors are older, so I don't feel as weird like talking about like how it fits them. I just think like it's a very like a fitted sweater that really like accentuates Jen's like the good parts about her body. Again, like, no one, I'm trying to find a way to say this without making it seem like there are bad parts about her body. There aren't, but it accentuates like her figure in a really flattering way. That's what I'm trying to say. It's a very flattering outfit. I think that, like, this particular sweater, because it, like, is more form-fitted than, like, let's say what Joey wears necessarily, and it's, like, because it's tucked in at the waist, I just really like the vibe that it's giving off, and I love that chunky belt. I think it's, like, a really cute look.
The belt's cute. Yeah, I mean, I really like turtlenecks. I really like turtlenecks or, like, a higher neck, and then I have, like, my little necklace, and I like putting my necklace above the turtleneck. It's totally my vibe. That has nothing to do with Jen. I'm just talking about myself. Next up, we have Joey. And this is Joey hanging out in the beginning with Dawson on the bed. I really liked this black and white striped sweater from Joey. So it's just like mm-hmm. a black sweater. It has like a stripe at her collar. And then it has like two stripes across the chest. And then she's wearing like some momish jeans that are like a lighter mm-hmm. wash and her little white socks. And I don't know. I guess it's because it's black and white and I like black and white. I saw it and I just like liked the look.
Yeah, she. I feel like Joey wears a lot of stripes, and a lot of loves like, the baggy, stripe. Like a lot of baggy, like mom jeans, like straight leg mom jeans. Yes. Yes. I also like this sweater. I think it looks really cozy. I think this is definitely like a signature Joey outfit, but I do think like you could like feasibly see this sweater nowadays. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Thought she looks cute. And then mm-hmm. last up, I have Cliff, and this is Cliff's date outfit that he picks up Jen in.
Date night, and Cliff.
Yes. I thought Cliff looked great. So his hair is like gelled where it's like there's like more floof to one side than the other. He's like nicely shaven. He's wearing like a leather-ish jacket, mm-hmm. a white undershirt, this really nice green button-down shirt. This is an appropriate date outfit.
Yes.
And then he's wearing I think he's wearing like black pants and a belt, and he just looks really nice. Like, this is the type of boy that you can bring home to mom.
Yeah, I appreciate this as a date outfit. I do think like mm-hmm. it's casual enough, right? Because it's like it's a button down, but you have the top button unbuttoned, so it's more casual. I think the jacket is nice. Like, again, like I think we would see like a faux leather jacket nowadays too. So I do love this outfit from Cliff. I think he's one of the better dressed of the men, probably.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, if he wore this to the club, like the club that Pacey and Billy went to. The road trip. He can totally pick up girls.
He'd be getting all of the ladies. Absolutely.
All the girls. All the ladies.
Yes. I think this great. Is a great. And the colors. This is a great outfit.
Yeah. The colors great on him too. That green. Very pretty green.
Yeah. This is a tough pick for me because I think like I really do appreciate Cliff's outfit, but like my eye is much more drawn to Jen's. Like I think that like just that red, the red on her looks so pretty, and I just love the vibe of this outfit. And I do think that, like, I mean, it's I think it's kind of ready to go as it is right now for styles that are out right mm-hmm. now. But even as times change, I think it's very adaptable to change into a time, you know what I mean? Like to untuck the sweater and, you know, you have something that's a little bit more, if it's a longer sweater, it's a little bit more early 2000s, you know? Mm-hmm. No, I'm going to give it to Jen. I think she earned it.
Red is such a power color because I always think like how amazing brunettes look in red, but blondes that have like the pinky skin tone, like Michelle Williams, like she looks mm-hmm. great in red too. It's such a power color. Like I feel like anybody can rock red.
Yeah, my mom always used to tell me that red was like my color. I like wearing red, but I don't know. I don't normally go for like as much of a fire engine red as hers is. I'm more of like a maroon red kind of gal myself. But I like it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think congratulations. I want to implement more red. Okay. Sorry. You should. Congratulations.
No, that's okay. Yeah. Ursula and Jen. Yes. And also, did you pick out a Hall of Shame? Because if you didn't, I still feel like that also should go to Ursula.
I didn't. So I know, I mean, we're going to have like an executive outfit decision about this. But like, I don't know if like Halls of Shames should be reserved for the most shameful or if this is getting thrown in as like a weekly thing. Like maybe we can just do it. Tell us.
Yeah, we can just do it like whenever we find one that is particularly horrifying. I just find Ursula's so maybe eyebrows particularly offensive.
Maybe in the graphic I'll include both. It's a double winner. Yes.
No, this was great. This episode was really weird and I'm excited to move on to the next episode next week to see what else we have in store for season one of Dawson's Creek. We already talked about it. It's called Beauty Contest. And then obviously always we have Boy Meets World content coming out every week. And then it's Mary Kate and Ashley month of March here on
Mary Kate and Ashley March. So guys, if you have not listened to our Mary Kate and Ashley bracket with TikTok Nicole Horn, please check that out. It was so much fun. And we went through 16 movies to determine what is the best Mary Kate and Ashley movie. And I think that ultimately we came across the right one.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes. Then, I do think we did. I think that it was a hard-fought battle, but we... Yeah, it was a hard-fought battle, but I think we came to the right conclusion.
I do too.
What do we have coming up? What do we have coming up next?
Mary-Kay and Ashley month is not over yet. We are welcoming on the great Melissa Denny at Melissa with three A's to talk about all things Mary-Kay and Ashley and It Takes Two. So that will be in your podcatcher on March 17th. And then after that, we have one more Mary-Kay and Ashley piece of content for you. I will we'll announce that next week. You know,
yes.
We gotta have some mystery, Jess, right?
Yes, we have. We've got a mystery.
Yeah, we've got a mystery. Now you do too.
Yes. Who stole the Great Hope Diamond? yes. So if you don't know, that's from the Adventures of Mary-Kate and Ashley. So definitely keep listening. We have one more bonus piece of bonus content coming out for the Mary-Kate and Ashley month of March. So we hope you guys are enjoying all the bonus content. It's a lot of work, but we've been loving doing it. Especially the Mary-Kate and Ashley stuff has really been a trip down memory lane. And then obviously you can catch us on all our social media at Shit90sPod. If you want to send us an email, please do shit90sPod@gmail.com. We appreciate any ratings, subscribe, you know, all of the above. We love to see it. I think that's all I got. What about you, Sarah?
Oh, so if you guys didn't catch me on the reality TV wrap-ups this week covering the Oprah interview with Meghan and Harry, me and Sasha Joseph broke down the interview for you, and I had the most amazing time, and coincidentally, it came out on my birthday, and I was just, like, on cloud nine that day. So please tune into that. I had a blast. It was an honor being on Rob Has a Podcast umbrella podcast. It was my first time beyond that. And then, you know, yeah, like besides that, we have a couple of other upcoming things that we're really excited for. So if you guys are a patron of Post Show Recaps, Jessica and I will be making a cameo in there. And that's very exciting. And then, yeah, like, Jess, like, has community building.
Yes,
like, we're busy. This was supposed to be, like, an easy month for us, but
I know, last month we were very busy, and then we're like, March will be much quieter, and then March was not quieter, but we love it. We love being this busy. We love having podcasts coming out for you guys, and we hope everybody's enjoying everything. Like I said, give us feedback, and, you know, throw us a couple stars that'll really help boost our spot in the podcast apps. But anyway,
visibility.
Yeah. Yes. So we appreciate everybody. Thank you all for listening. We will talk to you all next time. Everybody have a great one. Special thank you to JD for our theme song. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
You not want to wait? Neither do we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Hey, Jess, do you not want to wait? Neither do we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I thought that you did our other intro.
What? This is the Dawson's Creek intro.
Oh, okay.
It's work. Start work. Over. Are we talking about Boy Meets World today? Did I miss the memo?
What did you? I thought that you said the Boy Meets World intro.
No, I said, do you not want to wait? Neither do we.
Okay, start over.
No, I'm leaving this.
Start over. Put this in the bloopers. Start over. No, I have a different intro that I want to say.
Okay, I'll put this in the bloopers. Goodness. Okay.
I should just repeat what you said.
Just the same thing.
All right. Start over.
Okay.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.